Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our message this morning is from Acts chapter 9, and you'll find it recorded for you, printed for you on page 3, if you would like to refer to it during the course of our message. During the early Christian church, as the church was growing, now let's say that the apostles decided that we have to hire someone new because we need someone to go and take the gospel to the Gentiles, to the non-Jewish world. So they decided to gather some resumes of people that might be good candidates. And one of the resumes that they read would have gone something like this. It said that this man was from a very prominent and wealthy family. He was not only 100% Jewish from the tribe of Benjamin, but was also a Roman citizen, very highly educated, educated under Gamaliel, the foremost teacher of his time, a leader of the sect of the Pharisees, which means he was a very proud and probably a very arrogant person. Most well known for persecuting Christians. He had personally arrested many Christians, sent them to prison, many of whom were executed, and is currently on a trip to Damascus to round up more Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem for trial. Is that the person you would choose? Probably not. Turn it around a little bit and say that you were interested in the job and you looked at the job description, and the job description said that you're going to have to give up your family and most of your friends. You're going to lose all of your material possessions because you're going to be spending most of your time on the road traveling and preaching. And while you're doing that, people are going to hate you. You're going to be thrown in prison a number of times. You're going to be beaten and whipped and even left for dead. And eventually you're going to be taken to Rome where you're going to be beheaded. Oh, and as far as the salary, you're not going to get any. You're just going to have to kind of live off of what people give you. And if you don't get enough, you're going to have to find a second job to support yourself. Is that the job you would apply for? Obviously not. But I think most of you, and maybe all of you, know exactly where this is going, right? That's the job that Jesus had for the Apostle Paul. And if Paul would have written up a resume, that's pretty much what his resume would have looked like. And what we're going to look at this morning is what really is a life-changing experience for the Apostle Paul, to say the least, as we look at how Saul, the persecutor and the unbeliever, became Saul, the believer, Paul, the believer, and the missionary. We first encounter the Apostle Paul at the stoning of Stephen, who was the first Christian martyr. Stephen was one of the seven men chosen to help out the apostles as the church was growing. And what happened is the Jewish church leaders took him outside of town and decided that he had to die, so they stoned him to death. And we're told that Saul was there, and what he was doing is he was holding the coats of the people throwing rocks at Stephen so they could get a better shot at him. And it also said that he was consenting to their decision, which means he thought stoning Stephen to death was exactly the right thing to do. And after that, Saul started his own persecutions as he went around Jerusalem and was arresting people and sending them to prison. And as the persecutions in Jerusalem got worse, people started to scatter. And Saul wasn't ready to just let them go. He would go after them. And that's what he was doing here. He had gotten letters from the synagogue, from the chief priests, to go to the synagogues in Damascus, find out if there were any Christians in town, and bring them back to Jerusalem for trial. It was about 150 miles away. So, you know, he was pretty into this persecution thing. And this is where we meet Paul in the scripture before us today. As he's on the road, suddenly Jesus appears to him. Can you imagine that? The person that he thought was a fraud, the person he thought was dead and gone forever, now suddenly appears to him. And immediately, he's blind. Couldn't see for the next 3 days. Jesus asked him a simple question, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" I wonder what his answer was. Because this was pretty life-changing, right? The man he was persecuting is now standing there in front of him. He sees Jesus, and Jesus says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And then he told Saul to go into Damascus and go to the house of Judas on Straight Street, which was the main street through Damascus, and that he would meet a man named Ananias. And at the same time, God appeared to Ananias and said to Ananias, "I want you to go to the house of Judas on Straight Street, and there you're going to meet Saul of Tarsus and cure him of his blindness." And what was Ananias' reaction to that? "Yeah, I've heard of this Saul from Tarsus. Don't you know, Lord, that he's arresting all kinds of your saints in Jerusalem and throwing them in prison, and that he's on his way here with letters from the chief priests to do the same thing here, to arrest Christians and take them back? I think he walked into the house on Straight Street with a little fear and trepidation," right? But again, God told him exactly what to do. He told him that he wanted him to go there and he wanted him to cure Paul of his blindness. And this is what Ananias said to him. "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, regained his strength. So Ananias comes there, and Saul's blindness goes away. Something like scales fell from his eyes. But that's really not the important thing here. "So that you can see again," and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened? He became a believer. He was baptized. What a miracle, right? Not curing him of blindness, but taking Saul, the persecutor, changing him into Paul, the believer, and the missionary. What fantastic power of the Holy Spirit to take a man like that, not only turn him into a Christian, but a Christian missionary. The power of the Holy Spirit to create faith. Now look at the change, right? Did Paul's life change for the better or worse? Well, I guess it all depends on how you look at it. From a pure physical, material standpoint, it certainly changed for the worst, didn't it? Remember who Paul was. He was a leader of the sect of the Pharisees from the tribe of Benjamin, a Roman citizen, and by the way, the way you got Roman citizenship, if you were not born into it, was to pay for it. So very wealthy, very respected, and now what happened? He lost everything. Right? He lost everything. He certainly lost a lot of his friends, maybe most of his friends, because they didn't agree with him being a Christian. He lost his job. He lost all of his influence with the Jewish community. He lost all of his wealth. And where did it leave him? It left him as an itinerant missionary traveling from town to town. And as he tells us himself that he was in danger of robbers, in danger from his own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles. He was beaten, he was thrown in prison, he was left for dead, he suffered shipwreck. Now, from a material standpoint, people looking at Saul the Pharisee and Paul the missionary, from a material standpoint, they would say his whole life fell apart, right? He lost it all. But what about from a spiritual standpoint? Now, Paul also described his life as a Pharisee. And he called himself, when he wrote to his friend Timothy, he called himself the worst of sinners. He called himself a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. It's not a very good description, right? But because of Jesus, what did he know? He knew that all of his sins were now forgiven, including the blasphemy, including the persecution, including the violence. They were all forgiven because of Jesus. He knew that at the end of his life, whenever God decided his life should end, that he would be with Jesus in heaven forever. When he wrote to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul said that he considered everything he had lost to be rubbish. Literally, the word means garbage. He said, so everything that I have, I consider everything that I've lost, all of my power, all of my influence, all of my money, I consider that all to be garbage compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, to be found in him and to attain eternal life. You see the comparison? He said, I don't care about my former life. I don't care about all that money and wealth, and I don't care about all that power and influence, and I don't care about all those friends I used to have. To me, it's all garbage in comparison with knowing Jesus and to be in Christ and to attain eternal life. Because he knew Jesus as his Savior. And he knew he was forgiven. And he knew eternal life was his. And then look what God used him for. 3 missionary journeys, preaching the gospel throughout Asia Minor, which is Turkey today, going up into Macedonia, down into Greece, preaching on the island of Crete and Malta, going to Rome and preaching the gospel as Rome, and some believe as far as Spain. What a wonderful opportunity he had, not only to become a Christian, but to share Jesus with so many people. And for that, he was willing to give up everything. Call it garbage. Because he knew Jesus as his Savior. And he knew eternal life was his. So if you look at it from a material standpoint, his life was worse. You look at it from a spiritual standpoint, it was just so much better, wasn't it? You know, Paul was not a rags-to-riches story. He was a riches-to-rags story. And it didn't bother him one bit. So, my friends, what can we take home with us from this? Well, look at your own life. amazing miracle that the Holy Spirit performed to take Saul the persecutor and make him Paul the missionary, right? An amazing miracle to take a person like Saul and turn him into the Christian missionary, to make him a believer. But hasn't the Holy Spirit done the same thing for each one of us? The Holy Spirit has worked the miracle of faith in each one of our hearts, right? Because we know Jesus as our Savior. We know our sins are forgiven. And we know eventually eternal life will be ours. So has your life by being a Christian changed for the better or worse? Well, I don't know about material. I don't know what your situation is from a material standpoint. But I do know that by becoming a Christian, God never promises that you're going to become wealthy. He never promises that you're never going to have any health problems, and he never promises that everyone's going to be your friend. But from a spiritual standpoint, our lives are so much better because of Jesus. Jesus is the one who changed Paul's life forever. And Jesus is the one who has changed our lives forever in exactly the same way, by performing the miracle of faith in our hearts. And that makes us so much different. You know, when we sin, we all do, we know that we can take every one of those sins, lay them at the foot of the cross, and know that Jesus died for them all, and all of them are forgiven. And we can go through our lives, and whatever hardships or problems God allows to come into our lives, we know that God is using those for a very important purpose: to strengthen our faith, to bring us closer to Jesus, and to help us keep our priorities straight, knowing that what's really important in our life is Jesus. God has changed our lives forever, just like he did the Apostle Paul. I don't know if you were ever a blasphemer, a persecutor, or a violent person like the Apostle Paul. But we've all got our sins. We've all got our past. But that past has been forgiven. And we are now children of God, forgiven children of God, headed for eternal life in heaven. And it's all because of Jesus. Amen.